You'll hear a book illustrator called Colin Rogers talking about his work to a group of students. For questions 7 to 14, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at part 2.
Hi, I'm Colin Rogers and I'm a children's book illustrator. Drawing's always been important in my life, and as a reader I've always been attracted to books featuring drawings. The more activity there is in them, and the greater the amount of colour, the more I like them. But it's the detail that always gets me poring over them endlessly. That's very much the style I've adopted in my work too. If you want a career in art, drawing skills are essential. So it's vital to do some drawing every single day. Draw whatever your imagination generates, and don't be put off when you go wrong. In fact, correction is something to value when you're drawing. If something's not right, keep drawing those lines over and over again, rather than rubbing everything out until you're happy with it. You'll learn a lot from that process. But mastering technique is only one aspect of story illustrating. You'll also need a sort of inner eye to help you judge your approach. And the challenge for me is always to comprehend the essence of what the text is about. But once I've eventually managed to do that, I know I'll come up with something wonderful. Then I'll consider how the text will fit with my images and complement the author's ideas. Drawing for children, as I do, may sound easy, but it's tricky. Adults can be negative about your work, how realistic it is, how successful it is in engaging readers. But children have a wonderfully observant quality that their parents seem to have lost somehow. Of course, it's important to be appreciative of any feedback, because whether it's from adults or children, it can be constructive. In my quest for realism, I often go and draw things in situ, whether it's trees in dark woods for a nature book, or clothes for a children's historical guide. And if I want to present universally recognisable images that transcend culture and gender, then animals seem to work particularly well. I've even substituted them for humans as the characters in some stories I've illustrated. I also love drawing mythical creatures. I've done several stories about fairies, requiring a delicate hand, and monsters, where my imaginations run riot. And I'll always slip in dragons somewhere if possible, as you can represent them and arrange them however you like on the page. There's a popular misconception nowadays, I think, that illustrated books aren't as serious as those with only text. Yet, to me, these books help readers improve what I call visual literacy. In an age where the interpretation of images, whether diagrams, photos or drawings, is taken for granted, this is a vital ability. So, finally, what's needed to become a good illustrator? Well, most people deal with rejection at some point, so resilience is always useful. Not to mention dedication when you're not feeling inspired to draw. But never underestimate self-belief. Publishers can be challenging to work with, so use criticism to develop your ideas, but don't take it personally.
Now you'll hear part two again.
Hi, I'm Colin Rogers, and I'm a children's book illustrator. Drawing's always been important in my life, and as a reader I've always been attracted to books featuring drawings. The more activity there is in them, and the greater the amount of colour, the more I like them. But it's the detail that always gets me poring over them endlessly. That's very much the style I've adopted in my work too. If you want a career in art, drawing skills are essential, so it's vital to do some drawing every single day. Draw whatever your imagination generates, and don't be put off when you go wrong. In fact, correction is something to value when you're drawing. If something's not right, keep drawing those lines over and over again, rather than rubbing everything out, until you're happy with it. You'll learn a lot from that process. But mastering technique is only one aspect of story illustrating. You'll also need a sort of inner eye to help you judge your approach. And the challenge for me is always to comprehend the essence of what the text is about. But once I've eventually managed to do that, I know I'll come up with something wonderful. Then I'll consider how the text will fit with my images and complement the author's ideas. Drawing for children, as I do, may sound easy, but it's tricky. Adults can be negative about your work, how realistic it is, how successful it is in engaging readers. But children have a wonderfully observant quality that their parents seem to have lost somehow. Of course, it's important to be appreciative of any feedback, because whether it's from adults or children, it can be constructive. In my quest for realism, I often go and draw things in situ, whether it's trees in dark woods for a nature book, or clothes for a children's historical guide. And if I want to present universally recognisable images that transcend culture and gender, then animals seem to work particularly well. I've even substituted them for humans as the characters in some stories I've illustrated. I also love drawing mythical creatures. I've done several stories about fairies, requiring a delicate hand, and monsters, where my imaginations run riot. And I'll always slip in dragons somewhere if possible, as you can represent them and arrange them however you like on the page. There's a popular misconception nowadays, I think, that illustrated books aren't as serious as those with only text. Yet, to me, these books help readers improve what I call visual literacy. In an age where the interpretation of images, whether diagrams, photos, or drawings, is taken for granted, this is a vital ability. So, finally, what's needed to become a good illustrator? Well, most people deal with rejection at some point, so resilience is always useful. Not to mention dedication when you're not feeling inspired to draw. But never underestimate self-belief. Publishers can be challenging to work with, so use criticism to develop your ideas, but don't take it personally.
That's the end of part two. Now turn to part three.